The following broadcast is brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International.
Your hands to heaven. We're going to pray and get into it. Lord, we thank you for today. Father, we thank you for your word that is sharp and powerful, that it goes deep into people's hearts. Open up people's hearts. Open up people's minds. Set people free. Take people to a new level. Bring them closer to you, Lord. Make eternity so real in their heart today. Brand your word on our hearts today in Jesus' name. Say this with me. Say, today is my day. I open my heart to receive from the word. I will be changed today. I will never be the same. And the word that goes into my heart will bear much fruit unto eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord one big hand clap. Hallelujah. So 3 weeks ago now, I started the first part of the message. It was choose your path. Decide today that you're going to be on the path of abundance. You're not going to be in between. You're not going to go back and forth between which path you're on. And who here has made a decision that you are on the path to absolute abundance, set free from poverty, never again to be enslaved by poverty or lack? Amen? Hallelujah. So choose your path. The second one that I did, which was now 3 weeks ago, was how to move through the path, the steps to abundance, the practical steps of get a job, work, allow the Lord to bless the work of your hands, to believe in your heart, to give, and then to speak, right? And it was to pray, to speak, and declare. And who here has been praising the Lord? Who's been speaking out what you want? So I want to encourage you guys again and challenge you. If you started a good habit, it takes 21 days to develop a habit that sticks. So make a decision. I will praise the Lord every day. I will declare every day. I will speak every day. I know my brother has said this before, that he'll literally, on days that he flies, he will go into the bathroom in an overnight flight, go into the bathroom of the airplane and lock the door, and he will dance in the bathroom because he is determined that every single day for the rest of his life, he is going to praise the Lord. Amen. And then he knows that the Lord's going to keep him with healthy knees and a healthy back and healthy everything because he's got to be mobile to be able to do that. Amen. So make a decision and get back on that. So again, everyone say give, work, and speak. So today I want to talk about where this path leads to, and this is honestly the one that I believe is the most impactful. Today, if you will open your heart, this is going to change your life forever. The Bible says that God has put eternity in man's hearts. So there's a special part of every human being's heart that you, if you could imagine it right now, you could look at the human heart beating there. There's a little section, maybe it's just around the side, that is just labeled eternity. It's a section of every man's heart that the Lord has placed eternity in that. And I'm going to speak to that part of your heart today. And this is at the root. This is why I give. This is why I work. This is why I do everything I do with my skills, my talents, is dedicated to eternity. And I am so grateful for this ministry, that this ministry has made eternity real to me. I grew up in church, and I've been in church for, really my whole life, since I was, born, a toddler, the entire time, all 34 years. And it was only when I came to this ministry that eternity became real to me. It was only in this ministry that I became aware of how important my life was and the actions that I do today that carry over into eternity. So if you'll turn with me real quick over to that scripture, Ecclesiastes 3:11. I'm going to read out of the Amplified Version. So Ecclesiastes 3:11, it says, "He has made everything beautiful and appropriate in its time. He has also planted eternity, a sense of divine purpose in the human heart, a mysterious longing which nothing under the sun can satisfy except God. Yet man cannot find out or comprehend or grasp what God has done, his overall plan from the beginning to the end." So he's placed eternity in every man's heart. So every single person is aware. And that's why you watch people early in life. What are most unsaved people doing? They're working. They're out there working. They want to make money. I want to drive a nicer car. I want to wear a nicer watch. I want nicer clothes. I want a bigger house. But later in life, as you see these very, very wealthy men start to make more and more money, what does it shift to? It starts shifting to building a legacy that lasts. So all of a sudden now, they want to put their name on a college, like a part of the college campus. They want to get a statue built. They want something with the family name on it, right? They'll even do it in church circles as well. But the reality is that 100 years from today, 1,000 years from today, whatever it is, if Jesus tarried, those statues will be broken down. Those college campuses will be broken down and rebuilt. Those works of art, those things that they're trying to do to leave a legacy, that watch they want to leave to their kids, all of those things will have fallen apart. It will have deteriorated and it will be gone. Because the reality is, the things that we do here on earth, unless it's connected into eternity, it will not matter. Amen? And so but you'll watch these people, they have eternity in their heart. Even the unsaved, they've got eternity in there. So they start getting this longing. How do I extend my life? There's even wealthy men that are trying to figure out how to freeze themselves right now so that they can extend their life a little bit longer, right? Hopefully by the time I can freeze myself and they can unthaw me, then technology will have, you know, caught up so that I can live longer, right? They can replace all the organs and get me going again because they've got that thing that they want to. Everyone knows deep on the inside, there's something after this life. There's a life after this natural life. This cannot be it. I had one of my top salesmen who was probably the least likely person I'd ever hear this from. I was talking to him and he's just come off of his best year. He just made $250,000 as a 25, 26-year-old. And grew up in the Catholic Church. That's the only thing he knows. And we're talking one day for 2 hours on sales tactics and on this and that, and I'm training him. And he's walking to the car, and as he walks to the car, just out of his mouth, out of nowhere, and this is a very stoic person. He's always got a hard exterior, someone that's never opened up to me before. He just says, "Man, I don't know what it is. I made a bunch of money last year, and it just didn't feel like I expected it." And he's like, last few weeks, I've just been kind of just trying to figure out, like, what's the meaning of life? He's like, it just didn't feel like it. I expected it to feel. You know, I've been working now for 6 years for this goal to make $250,000, and I made it. And it's like, it just, I don't know. And then the statement came out of my mouth. He's like, I just feel like there has to be more to life than this, you know? And this is a guy that, you know, he's got 6 rental properties already. He's very much all about, I'm going to become very, very wealthy. And so I've never really thought to really talk to him about these things. And I was like, man, I'm so glad you asked me, you know, what the meaning of life is. I can tell you right now. And it's definitely not in the money that you make. It's in a relationship with Jesus. And I just started to share about how I grew up in dead religious churches and how then I found the real living Jesus, right? And now I've been connected to him. And so every single person out there, they have this place in their heart where they know eternity is real. But the sad, sad thing is that so many people, and many Christians as well, their life, they're not living in light of eternity. And that's the thing that this ministry has really given me and hopefully has given you as well. And if you'll open your heart today, I believe the Lord will do it, where I've always got in the background of whatever I'm doing, in the backdrop, I can see eternity through everything I'm doing. There was a moment in my life where I was starting to think about my goals and how do I get more out of this year, and I started realizing, you know, I've only got so much time, right? My time, everyone say time, talent, treasure. Those are the things that we have, right, at our disposal that we can use for eternity or we can use for ourselves, time, talent, and treasure. So I said, all right, I've got this wheel of time. So let me try to move my wheel of time to have more things that matter. I was playing video games, periodically at the time. And I said, you know, I don't even care about that 6 months from then. So I'm going to stop putting time into this and I'm going to put it into my work, or I'm going to put it into a vision, or I'm going to start to try and exercise or do something that'll matter to me 5 years from today. And as I was writing this out, I was like, what will still matter to me 5 years from today? And that's what I want to focus my time, my treasure, and my talent on. And I was like, why am I stopping at 5 years? Let me just extend this past the line of eternity. Let me see, what am I doing today with my time, my treasure, my talent that's going to cross from this side of life into eternity? So we're going to imagine for the sake of this that the halfway point here, this is the line that we're crossing. What in your life are you doing today with your time, your treasure, and your talent? Is it going to make it over that line? Because that's really the only thing that matters, right? The only thing that matters is what crosses over that line. And so there's 3 things. There's 3 things that we can carry over from this side of life into eternity. Number 1, yourself. Everyone say me. Say, I've got to make it into eternity. And we'll give you an opportunity to do that today if you're not entirely sure. We'll make sure you have your ticket. And so the Bible says, I'm just going to read it real quick in Matthew 16, 24 through 28. I'm just going to read one part. It says, what does it profit a man that if he gains the whole world, and loses his soul? Or what is it, or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man came in glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here today that will not taste death before they see the Son of Man come into his kingdom. So there's a day coming on the other side of eternity where we, each one of us, will receive a reward for the works that we've done. As a Christian, I was always really scared that there was going to be this moment on the other side of eternity where there'd be these big screens like this, and all of heaven would be standing there, and we'd watch my life play through slowly, and every thought that I had, everything I did would pop up on the screen, and then everyone would be like, he was not as nice as I thought he was, you know? And we're going to see that whole thing. But as a Christian, the redeemed children of God, we're not going to give an account for that stuff. When we stand on the other side, we've been given. We've been forgiven by the blood of Jesus. We've been washed clean. What we have, though, is a judgment or a reward ceremony for the things that we've done. Amen? It's what we've done on this side of life that echoes in eternity, just like was a gladiator. What we do in life echoes in eternity. And so we're going to stand before God, and there's going to be an award ceremony, a place where our works and the things that we've done will be tried by fire. And on the other end, we're going to receive those gifts and the crowns and the jewels and everything that the Lord has for us that for the things that we did for eternity. And so number one, we take ourselves. Number two, everyone say souls. So in Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the uncompromisingly righteous is a tree of life, and he who is wise captures human lives. I love that. This is the Amplified version. It says, he who is wise captures human lives for God as a fisher of men. He gathers and receives them for eternity. So we can take people with us. And then the third one, the one that I'm going to focus on now in these few minutes I have left, is riches that endure. Everyone say riches that endure. I've made many investments in my life, some good, some really, very, really, really bad, and lost it. But either way, the returns that I gain, whether good or bad on this side, unless I connect them to eternity, they don't matter. You're not taking all your stuff, your home, the clothes that you wear over with you. And so acquiring all these things, there's nothing wrong with having them, but it's only the things that we've connected to eternity that's going to last. So the Bible says, if you'll turn with me first, Timothy 6, 17 through 19. It says, as for the rich of this world, charge them not to be proud and arrogant and contemptuous to others, nor set their hopes on uncertain riches, but on God who richly and ceaselessly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Charge them to do good and to be rich in good works, to the liberal and generous heart, ready to share with others. In this way, laying up for themselves riches that endure. Everyone say riches that endure. It says, riches that endure forever as a good foundation for the future, that they may grasp that which is life indeed. And so that's what I started talking to my friend. I said, it's that relationship with God. It's these things that are the meaning of life, both on now and in eternity. It's the relationships that we have. So turn to the person next to you and say, I'm so glad to be your friend. We can talk about this day in eternity. So it's your relationships with the people next to you that you're going to take with you. So when we're investing in time, when we're investing in each other, that's still going to last. And ultimately, obviously, ourselves and the works that we do for the kingdom, and then the treasure that we bring to the Lord. And this is the thing that gets me so excited, because I'm not just laying up treasure now here on earth. I'm not just working hard to invest to make as much money. I want to make more money so that I can give more. I want to invest so that I can make more money so I can give more. But ultimately, I'm very aware that none of these things go with me. It's only what I've done and connect to the kingdom that matters. That's the only thing that's going to last. That's the only thing that's going to carry over. So when we were in South Africa as young boys, we started this exercise, and we would go to my mom's room about every week, and we'd lay on my mom's bed, and we would do this thing we called envisioning. And so we were starting to see the journey from, we'll call it South Africa, which will, for the purpose of this illustration, will be here, earth, and then going to America, which will represent heaven. So we started envisioning the idea, the day that we would step into America, or, you know, in this case, step into eternity. And we started practicing going and talking about it as amongst our family. My mom would say to us, all right, so on the day that we're going to pack, what do you want to wear that day? And I would think about what I'm wearing, right? And I think about the clothes that I'm wearing. When we're going into heaven, we're thinking about our robes of righteousness, right? That's the clothing that we're wearing into heaven, amen? And so we would start to imagine, all right, I'm going to pack this pair of shoes, and I'm going to wear these jeans, and I'm going to wear this jacket, right? And then my mom would say, what do you want to pack with you? What do you want to take? And in the mind of a, you know, 9, 10, 11-year-old, the most important thing on my list is I wanted my G.I. Joes. That was really, really important to me. And I wanted beef jerky, or what we call bultong. I was literally planning on how to bring an entire thing of, you know, this dried meat, basically, which is amazing. It's not anything like beef jerky. It's almost an insult to call it that, but it's the only way I can relate to the American folks. But it's amazing. And funny enough, that's the very thing that I smuggled at the risk of going to jail. I smuggle back now as an adult. I still go over there, get a bunch of beef jerky or bultong, stick it in my bag, and just hope the dogs that are in the airport don't smell it. So wrap it up, spray a bunch of cologne on it.
And ICE is actually watching right now.
Yeah, I'm sure.
They're watching.
Yeah, forgive me. I won't do it again. So the reality is that I wanted to pack these things that mattered to me at that time. But the reality is, had I used, let's say, you know, we have some things like some watches from my dad, some things that we brought over. Looking back now, had I brought my G.I. Joes and taken up space in the bag that could have gone to something that really matters now that I'm in America, or let's call it in eternity, I would have been disappointed, right? And so there are things that matter to us right now that are not going to matter on the other side of eternity. Those G.I. Joes that mattered to me when I was an 11-year-old, I would not still be playing with those G.I. Joes today as a 34-year-old.
Yeah, but
right?
It's actually a collector's item. It's worth $50,000.
No, don't tell me
right
that.
Now.
I gave them to a boy, and it was a hard moment, man. And my wife said to me today as she was walking in these shoes, she's like, these shoes are not as comfortable as the ones I gave away. She's like, still to this date, those are the hardest things to ever give away. I love those shoes. I was like, I love those G.I. Joes. It was so hard to give them away. But we thought about what we're taking with us. And so just like us as Christians, when we're about to take this journey, it's sooner than we think that we're crossing over into eternity. What are you taking with you? What are you packing for that journey, right? And then who are you going with? So obviously we talked about our family, right? I've got my brother and my mom. But ultimately, these people, even the ones that we don't know, they're really like our family. They just don't know Jesus yet. And they don't have their ticket, right? They don't have their plane ticket into eternity. And that's our job to go make sure that they have a plane ticket. The lost and dying people that we saw on those videos in Lakeland, the ones that heard the gospel for the first time, they're just like family members that we just need to tell them, hey, there's a ticket for you to go to America, and it's a better place, or to go to eternity, it's a better place than where you're headed, a way better place, right? And so in my mind, we would talk about America, and I was actually at Disney a week ago with Pastor Alan and Ryan and Krista, and I just remember saying to him, as a kid, I thought that America was just one big theme park. Like in my head, if you asked me, what was America like? It was Disney. It was a combination of Disney and I guess a mall. You know, everyone had tons of stuff. I mean, everything was huge, the food, and I mean, a lot of that is... It's true that the portions are bigger and all that. And anytime I saw a American in South Africa, I assumed when I heard the accent, that's a famous person. They are definitely a famous person, right? And so we were so excited to go. And so we would spend time envisioning. We would spend time thinking about it. And it's so important as believers that we keep our eyes on eternity and we keep that relevant to what we're doing in our daily lives. Even if you're working a regular job, the Bible says to do it unto the Lord. Your regular job can be something that you're investing in eternity as long as the attitude of your heart is that you do it as unto the Lord and that you're making money to be able to put it into the kingdom, right? That's how we redeem these natural things and connect them to eternal things. And it's so amazing that the Lord has given us an opportunity that on this side of eternity, we can already start to lay up for ourselves treasures on the other side. What's really going to matter? We can already start to invest. It's almost like getting a chance to invest in a stock before it's even started, right? Amen. And we're going to be, I know, on that day when we're standing there as the River Church, and then maybe the Lord will allow us to all stand there together as one big church, right, in heaven, and it's the River's Church chance to come up and receive their awards, that we are going to be so eternally grateful. Hallelujah, hallelujah, that we sowed into good ground, that we invested in something that mattered. And on that moment, I can only believe that there'll be a thought, man, could I have given more, right? Could I have done more for the kingdom? Could I have poured out more of my blood and my sweat and tears, whatever it is, for the things that really mattered? And so it's bringing ourselves, it's bringing souls, and then it's ultimately bringing our treasure to the Lord. The Bible says, do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves can break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so the more that you give to the kingdom, the more you actually connect your heart into eternity. The more that I've broken out my alabaster box many times over and over again and poured it out on Jesus, the more that my heart longs for that day when I get to stand before him face to face. I've told this story once before, but we went to New York, my wife and I, and we had hit some really big goals personally, and so we decided to go take a trip to New York just to treat ourselves and spend some money on a really nice watch, and I bought her a purse and some jewelry and stuff, and so we went, and we planned the whole trip, and it was something I had wanted for 8 years, I believe, at that time, a certain watch, and we planned it. We decided, all right, we've invested, we've saved, we've given, you know, 30% of our income, like, we're going to go and treat ourselves now. We've done everything right with our money. Now's the time we're going to reward ourselves. And we flew out there, and I spent 3 days and looked at all the stores, and I found the perfect one. And man, it was, you know, I would just stare at that thing on my wrist. Like, it was amazing. And it was about 2 weeks right after that we came back during camp meeting. And for whatever reason, you know, I happened to wear that watch. My wife wore her watch. She wore every piece of jewelry, and she had her purse on her. We had all of it with us. And we walk in, and Pastor Rodney says, Pastor Debbie, come up and speak. And it happened to be that night, out of all the messages she teaches on, that she starts teaching on the alabaster box. It was pouring out on Jesus. And man, it wasn't one of those moments where it was even hard, to be honest, to do it. It was one of those moments where my love for my Savior, my King, overwhelmed me sitting in my seat. I've had moments where I was wrestling with the Lord, where it was like, I'm not giving this, right? You know, and that cannot be from you. There's nobody who even deserves this thing that I want to give away. But this was not one of those moments. I was sitting right there in the second row, and the love of God just overwhelmed me, and I'm just crying, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm about to give, you know, and the Lord says, give the watch away, and I'm just overwhelmed, and I have this overwhelming feeling that even though I'm going to go put this watch on a natural man's arm, I really felt, truly, truly felt for the first time like I was putting that watch on the arm of Jesus. And that I almost imagine now when I see Jesus in my head that he's wearing that watch. and it's a watch worthy of him wearing it. It's a very nice watch. I think he would like it. And so I just remember, I remember turning to my wife, and I'm about to tell her, hey, I know we talked about this, we planned it, and I turned to her. I'm not even paying attention to what she's doing. I was just a mess. And I turned to her, and she looks at me, and makeup everywhere, and I can tell, wait a minute, I guess it's probably happening at the same time to both of us. And she just looks at me, I look at her, and I'm like, I'm going to go give my watch away. She's like, I was about to ask you, I want to go give all this away too. Is that all right? You know, because it was, you know, it was my gifts to her. And I was like, absolutely. And so we went out and distributed the things that the Lord said to do. And man, I got back to my seat. The love of God overwhelmed me. And it's honestly been since that day that, you know, for many years when I was in Bible school was to me kind of like for many years, unfortunately, it was like the peak of my spiritual walk. I was like in the church every day. I was in Bible school every day. I basically lived here on the property. I was on the property more hours than I was even at my own home, or even including sleeping hours, right? Some of you guys can relate to that. And I used to have a statement that I would say that I'll sleep when I'm dead. So, you know, I don't need to sleep, Mom. It's fine. I'm going back to church. I got another outreach to do or something. And I was all in, right? I mean, that was like and then I got distracted after Bible school. And so for many years, I honestly felt like I was trying to get back to a place that I had been before spiritually. And it was really around that camp meeting and that breaking free that something changed. And now my walk with Jesus, I mean, it's a It's just something different. It's just something different that it's hard to put into words. I mean, the other day I walked into my room just by myself into the office to go pray. And it's like in seconds, I close my eyes and I just feel the presence of God fill the room with me. And I'm having moments with Jesus by myself outside of this church that are on par with what's happened to me in the greatest camp meetings. And man, it's hard to put into words. I'm not going to keep thinking about it because otherwise I won't be able to finish. But it's something so special when you have that opportunity to pour out your love on Jesus. And that's really what this comes down to, that we have a chance to today to basically, for a second, visit eternity in the form of our giving. We have a chance to walk from our natural realm and to walk over into eternity and to stand before Jesus and to hand him our gifts. And for a moment there, we're standing right before him and we're getting to love on him, just like we will do that day when he gives us our rewards. And like we've heard Pastor say many times, he's gonna walk right over and hand everything that he's worked hard for and given his life's essence and blood and time and everything for. He's gonna then in turn just lay it at the feet of Jesus. We get to start that now. How amazing is that, that we get to participate in an eternal moment in the next 3 minutes? We get to step into eternity and to give. And knowing that that gift is going to then come back because we serve such a good God that he cannot help himself but to then step back over from his side of eternity into our life and to say, all right, now you've done something for me. Now watch what I do for you. We pour out with our little spoon and then he comes and pours out with his big bucket. I was just overwhelmed today just thinking about where we've come from, right? I was a boy from South Africa with nothing, a 10th grade education, and then a Bible school degree. And now I'm making millions in business, something that I shouldn't be doing. I shouldn't be in the circles that I'm in. I shouldn't be able to hang with the people that I get to work with in the natural. But it's only the grace of God that has taken me there. And it's this message on giving that allowed me to connect my heart and my life and myself to Jesus. And in turn, he says, I can't do without you. You're a cheerful giver that I literally can't do without you. I have to increase you if you're going to keep giving like this. Amen? Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. And so it's just like Paul says, we run the race, but we run it to win. As Pastor called me up Sunday night, and I'll just finish with this, that the image that I had seen was us, when I was standing there Sunday morning, thinking about this this thing of eternity, I suddenly saw in my heart a big stadium filled with, I mean, the biggest stadium ever, filled with all the people in heaven. And it was like we were the last group that was running this thing in. And there's this marathon in South Africa, the Pieter Maritzburg Marathon, where it starts early and it goes till late. And it's a grueling marathon. And they go and go and go and go. And it's almost, I mean, it's pitch black dark by the time they're running the finish line through. And they run into a stadium, or at least that's how I remembered it in my head. And we're like that last generation. Everyone's already gone before us. Who has family members that are already in heaven? They're already in eternity. They're already in the stadium waiting. And I believe they're already starting to get ready and gather because it's soon, guys. It is so soon. And I just saw us as running in that last little bit. It was like people stood and they started to cheer. And then right at the center was God and Jesus sitting there together, just excited for as we're cheering this thing in. And there was just a roar and a joy in that stadium of heaven waiting for us, that great cloud of witnesses waiting for us as we were stepping over. And so I implore you today to let the Lord expand that part of your heart that says eternity. If it's been a small part of your heart and it's not been something you think about on a weekly or monthly basis, like let the Lord do that even now. And know that every time you give today, every time you pour out your love on Jesus, you connect your love to him, that you are stepping over into the line of eternity to bring that gift before our Heavenly Father, our Savior, our King, our Lord, our best friend. And we're just telling him that we love him. And we're doing really one of the most important acts that we will do now and we'll continue to do this in eternity. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just lift your hands to heaven. Lord, I thank you for your people. I thank that you would brand eternity on their hearts today, that even as people pour out of their essence, their wealth, their tithe, their giving, as they pour out their love on you, Jesus, today, that you would become so real to them, that eternity would become so real to them, that we would truly be a church that has eternity branded on our hearts, that we would do everything through the eyes of eternity, that we would see everything the way that you see it, Lord. Brand our hearts today and let us never be the same. And I thank you, Lord, that as you see our hearts, we are a giving church. We are a giving church. We are all in for your kingdom. We are kingdom people, Lord. I ask you even today to drop special anointings on people to go and reap an abundant harvest of finances for your kingdom, that the provision would come in. I speak that the provision will come in for this church, for everything to be done, every building to be built, the places to be prepared for your people to come and be trained up and to receive from heaven, that the provision would come from this house, Lord. I speak increase. I speak multiplication. I speak abundance in the name of Jesus. You see our hearts, Lord. You can trust us, Lord. You can trust us, Lord. You can trust us, Lord, with the finances and the riches. We will be good stewards of it. We promise to keep our eyes on you and our eyes on eternity, Lord. We love you so much. We thank you for everything you've done. We are so grateful, and we are ready to pour our love on you today. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you for watching today on YouTube. Please press the subscribe button and also the notification button and like and get the word out so others can watch.